is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win your league and have bragging rights on your friends.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
All right, we're talking NFL draft today. Also, Rob Gronkowski, CJ Anderson, and more from around the NFL. This is Fantasy Football Today. We got a special guest. I am Adam. Here's Dave. Not a special guest, but here's Dave. Hey, Dave.
I'm not special?
Wow.
Well, you're not first, a guest.
First, it's not our podcast. It's his podcast.
Wait,
now I'm not a special
guest. Special
part
guest.
It.
You will like this. I'm one of our hosts, our esteemed host, advertising reads about a week ago. He said, special for my listeners. As if,
my.
As if he's been doing this podcast by himself.
My.
For years.
Hey, there is an I in Azer.
And that is Pete Prisco.
And there's an I in Prisco, too, by the way.
Yeah,
that's why they
sure
used to call me Prisco.
Senior citizen football writer. Did I get the title right there?
You want to get me to smack you around a little bit, youngster?
Good thing I'm on Skype. Senior football writer, Pete Prisco's here.
If you were here, I'd be slapping you in the back of the head like the little eighth grader that you are.
Is the challenge still on the table that Azer can get open on you as a wide receiver versus a defensive back?
If he's ever around. He never comes down here. He's never around here.
You've been here for a week and all of a sudden you're calling shots.
Yeah, but I at least even when I didn't live here, I was around all the time.
Yeah, you can't cover me. I'm quite confident of that.
You're a non-athlete, Azer. You played some,
I absolutely would pay you played, at least $20 to see this.
He played some like third grade soccer thing. What was it? What did you say you played? Not in high school, right? It wasn't even
It was in high school. I was the number one backup goalie on my team in high school, Pete.
Yeah, but then you go to like some weird prep school somewhere or something where there was like 11 kids in the school. What was that?
There were like 400 kids in the high school.
It was one of those teams where they needed somebody just in case the real goalie got sick.
Yeah. Right, like in the NHL where they've got like that emergency goalie. It's like some, you know, accountant
or something. He's the third string quarterback. Like, God forbid we have to ever put him in.
Actually, Pete, my high school is now a like national champion winning football school. But back when I was there, I would have been able to start on the offensive line. So
is that university?
Yeah, university school, yes.
Yeah. Well, isn't there there's a quarterback in this draft from university school. Isn't it Mike White? Didn't he go to university school?
I don't know, but we're going to ask you because you know all the draft stuff.
I think Western Kentucky's quarterback, Mike White, I think he went to your high school,
cool,
if I'm not mistaken.
All right, well, now I'm fired up. Well, we'll get to the draft in a minute. The email address is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, and the voicemail. You want to leave us a voicemail? We got some of those to play today. 954-689-3199. Give us your name and your city. Ask us a quick question. 954-689-3199. Let's start with some news, guys. Rob Gronkowski, he will not attend the start of New England's offseason program. Tom Brady's not going to be there for all of it. Pete, do you think everything is just fine in Patriot land, or is this actually something to be concerned about?
He wants a new contract. That's what all this is about. You know, Gronkowski looks at his money and it's $8 million a year, and he looks around the landscape and sees what other guys are making, and he wants more money. That's basically what this is about. If they gave him a new contract that made him the highest paid tight end in the National Football League, Rob Gronkowski would show up. At least that's what I've been told.
And my reaction to that was and is, isn't he already the highest paid tight end in the league? And the answer is no.
No, he's not. He should be. He's the best tight end in the league.
Why wouldn't he be? So you kind of understand where he's coming from on this.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt that he's – look, one thing about Gronk, he plays up the Gronk angle and the Gronk persona, but when it comes to his finances, Gronk has been very responsible with him and very smart about it.
Current contract, he's averaging $9 million a year. That's fourth best among tight ends. Can you name the three tight ends, all them fantasy-known guys who currently have a contract making more per year?
Kelsey.
That's one.
Ertz.
Not one.
Cameron
Brate.
Cameron Brate is not on there. He's making $7 million this year.
No, but the guy that just got the contract, Trey Burton just got a good contract.
He is two behind Gronk.
Right. I
mean, he's $1 million a year behind.
But that's what angers him. I mean, if you're
Jimmy Graham per year?
Jimmy Graham, $10 million, the number one paid tight end. According to contract, it's not guaranteed money, but he's first, Kelsey second, and the third guy just had toe surgery for the second year in a row.
Jordan Reed. Ah, wow. All right, so you don't think he's going to retire, Pete?
Just no, I don't. Okay. I think that's all negotiation ploy.
So the Broncos, have they officially released C.J. Anderson, or will they be released?
He has been cut.
Okay. What's
it has happened.
What's your take here, Jamie? First, let's start with the Broncos.
I think it puts them in play for Saquon Barkley. Certainly, they're going to get a running back in the draft at some point because the only two guys they have in terms of the tailbacks on their roster right now are Devontae Booker and D'Angelo Henderson. If it's not a day one or a day two draft pick, then Booker's in line to start. If it's a day one or day two guy, that rookie certainly will have a chance to outperform Devontae Booker, who has 3 games with double digits in fantasy points in a standard league in the, I believe it's 29 games that he's played. So he's not been a very good running back fantasy-wise. He's not been a very good running back NFL-wise. And I don't think Henderson will have the chance to earn the starting job, although he would have to turn some heads. So we'll see what
they like him.
What they do. Liking him and him getting the job.
They like him.
I think they'd have to depend on what they do with what they add to the roster.
They'd have to go like the first 5 rounds in the draft without a running back in order for Henderson to have a legitimate chance.
I think if it's...
Say drafted one in the 3rd round, he'd have a legitimate chance.
I'm not sure about that. In this draft. It's deep at running back.
A day 3 guy would put Henderson in the mix to still get the starting job. But I would imagine if that's the case, then Booker has the edge going into it.
He's the one that when I was there last summer that the players were raving about. Yeah. I mean, they were like, watch this kid. He's going to be something special.
I liked watching his – I remember his film from what I saw last year in college. I love that a guy that big could move around that well.
Quick.
It's D'Angelo Henderson we're talking about for the Denver Broncos. And, Pete, I know you've said over the years, don't draft a running back early, right? And that kind of your philosophy. But how does that fit with Saquon Barkley? What's your take on him?
I wouldn't take him in the top 10. I know he will. And the reason I wouldn't take him in the top 10 is because I do like him. I think he's a good player, and he's going to be a very good player. But I don't think there's a significant difference between Barkley and Geis and Jones and Sony Michel and the entire group. I just think there's a lot of good runners in this draft class. So if you're in a position where you can take a position of value, you take that position of value. And I go back to 2 years ago, and I'll still stand by this. The Dallas Cowboys, they drafted Zeke Elliott, and yes, he had a good year, and they didn't win anything. They didn't win a title. They didn't win anything with it. And Jalen Ramsey is a better player. Now, they haven't won with Jalen Ramsey either, but he's a long-term player, and that position stays on the field longer than a running back and plays a lot better. So I would take the corner or a pass rusher or something of that value. I would not take Saquon Barkley.
All right, a couple other items here. Kelvin Benjamin participated in voluntary workouts. He had off-season knee surgery, so good to see him back on the field. The Chiefs signed Kerwin Williams for some running back depth. And what we talked about Dez Bryant. If you missed it, we had our Dez cast on Friday. Baltimore is reportedly interested in Dez Bryant. Pete, we spent a lot of time talking about Dez on Friday. You tell me what you think about Dez Bryant. My listeners want to know how you feel about Dez Bryant right now.
Your listeners. I'm glad. Thanks for having me on the program, by the way, Adam. I don't know what these two appendages are here in the room with me. I think he's a guy who never ran fast to begin with, won a lot of 50-50 balls, and now that he's gotten older, he's not that fast either. You know, there's some guys, I talked to some people in Dallas that think that the quarterback hurt him a little bit, didn't always go his way, and the system hurt him a lot by they didn't move him around and they just had him running deep plays. So, look, slants and go routes, that's all he did, and they were 50-50 balls. I don't think he runs that well. He's a physical player still, but is he a number one receiver? No. The answer to that question is absolutely not.
Appendages? Any reaction?
Mostly agreement.
Okay.
Cool. I think it's going to come down to targets and catches wherever he ends up.
I mean, Jacksonville would make sense to me. If I'm Jacksonville, I'd sniff around that. And the reason being, yeah, they got a bunch of little receivers, and they got Moncrief, but he's on a 1-year deal. You need a physical guy. There's not a go throw the ball up kind of guy on that roster. And you know, they got rid of one. Why'd they get rid of him? But they didn't bring him back in Allen Robinson. I think that would make a little bit of sense if the money was right. I'm not going to go crazy, and I don't think anybody's going to go crazy on Dez Bryant.
Well, that's part of his problem is that he was cut so late in the game is that teams have to allow their money for their draft picks. And, you know, he's not going to command a big deal unless it's backloaded. And at this point, he's never going to see that. So
the other factor there is he's a crybaby when he doesn't get the football. And, you know, depending on the makeup of your team, when you bring him in, that's going to be a problem. It was a problem in Tampa last year with DeSean Jackson, by the way.
I mean,
that ended up being a problem there. And I think that's the kind of situation you want to avoid if you have a lot of young receivers. But if you have a strong room, then I think it would make some sense.
Yeah, Baltimore would be, I mean, at least leadership there is solid.
You'd have Dez and Crabtree in the same locker room.
Yeah, that's...
That'd be fun.
I don't, that's not
Joe
true.
Flacco. He'll
Green
separate
Bay,
them.
You mentioned Green Bay earlier, Jamie. I think that one is intriguing to
I think so too. I think that would be a.
But, I mean, he's almost a direct replacement for Jordy. Same type of player.
But in talking to McCarthy, though, at the owners' meetings, they like a lot of their young receivers. They think those guys, some of those guys are going to be ready to step up. Allison, guy, I mean, granted, they've had some issues.
You think there's one above the rest? Would it be Allison, since he seemed to get the most playing time?
They like him. That's the one. They like him.
But do they like Clark? Michael Clark?
They don't love him, I don't think. Okay. The guy is Allison, and they think he can be a player. Then you got the kid who got in trouble at the airport, and that's never a good situation.
No.
But Dez in Dallas, I mean, and Dez in Green Bay would make sense because Rodgers would can keep him under control. I mean, if they have a strong quarterback, that kind of receiver who causes problems and complains and gripes isn't going to have – you know, his whole situation permeate the locker room.
So they'll score every time they're inside the 10. If they have Dez, Jimmy Graham, Devontae Adams, plus whoever's running the ball on the field. That would be amazing.
Like in San Francisco, if you're the 49ers and you need a receiver, do you want that with young Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, but I think also how much faith do you have in Garoppolo being a strong leader? Because if you do, then you would think Shanahan being around the NFL as long as he has been, he should be fine. John Lynch is obviously somebody who can, you know, reel in. You expect someone with any sort of issues. I don't know. I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Would he get enough stats? Do you think he'd get as many targets there as he would? First of all, in Green Bay, it'd be a nice fit. We're talking about the locker room, but for fantasy purposes, I don't think Dez would be Dez. And I'm a little worried that Dez will never be Dez.
Dez is never going to be Dez again.
I don't think he's ever going to get to a point where he's 800, 900 yards and nine or 10 touchdowns.
Well,
he might get yardage.
Look,
if he goes to,
let's just say right now, Buffalo, and they get the right rookie in place, he could be great.
Or he could rock the rookie's boat, too.
Agreed. But I'm just saying, like, if he goes to a place where the quarterback all of a sudden is great and the opportunity is fantastic, there's nobody there to take targets away from Dez if he's the guy. In San Francisco, you can argue that there are other guys there, but he would probably be the number one guy on top of the depth chart.
I keep going back to Seattle. I think Seattle's a great spot for him fantasy-wise.
Yep, I agree.
All right, guys. Well, we did talk about that on Friday, so I want to move the show forward a little bit here and read an email from Sam, our email of the day. I put this one in for Pete. Pete, here's the question. Do you anticipate any unforeseen consequences due to the new catch rules? For example, will every incomplete pass now be reviewed as a potential fumble to determine whether the receiver made a, quote, football move prior to losing control of the ball?
Yes, you're going to have a lot more of that. The it's real vague on what's a football move, and so you're going to lead to a lot of replays and reviews. And look, no matter what the catch rule is, we're going to have issues with it because of the way the technology is today. We have so many angles and HD and everything else that they're going to always be issues. Before we had HD and all the camera angles and Twitter and Facebook and everything else, you watch the game, even if you thought it was a catch and not a catch, and you moved on to the next thing. Now it becomes an issue. So now it's just a different issue. What is a football move? We tend to think we know what a football move is, but do you really?
Isn't it just a move? What's the difference between a football move and a move?
Got to catch the ball and then make a move.
Right.
Right. But what's
but
a move?
But it's a move.
Okay. When you
they should have never put the word football in front of it.
Yeah.
It should have been just make a move.
But
also,
what if you're going side to side, though? Is that a football move?
You're moving.
Yeah.
You've caught the ball. You've possessed it. Your feet are down.
What about if
moving?
You catch the ball, put your 2 feet down on the sidelines, and fall to the ground, and the ball comes out?
I believe that's going to count as a catch.
Right. But is that a football? What's the football moving part of it there?
You're falling down.
Right.
You're moving. It's anything.
It's weird.
Literally have to like stand like a statue after catching the ball without moving your feet or anything.
Well, you could use the plays that they use in examples. For example, Zach Ertz, anybody who watched that play
that's
in the Super
touchdown.
Bowl who didn't think he made a football, the guy took about 4 steps before he went in. Jesse James made a football move.
He moved.
Dez Bryant made the football move. I mean, those are easy to see football moves. I think it's, you know, what was the old the Supreme Court justices said about pornography?
Oh,
you know when you see it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically
that's kind of what it is too.
Gosh,
but it's hard,
man, Pete comes on once in a blue moon and starts talking about pornography. Just bring it down.
That's history, man. That's history.
Yeah. Hiding behind that Supreme Court ruling. All right, let's move into the NFL draft. We got a voicemail to play here. This is going to be from Josh. Now, the number is 954-689-3199. We're going to start with a quarterback question, and then I just want to get everybody's take on how we think the start of the draft is going to go, the top five picks or so. But let's hear from Josh first.
Hey, fellas. It's Josh from Fresno, California. I was listening to the podcast last week, and my hearing must be going bad because I thought I heard Dave say that Josh Allen was the best quarterback in this upcoming draft. No offense, Dave, but I really need to hear your argument. And please don't say it's because he has a rocket arm and playing the pro-style offense, mainly coming from his completion percentage, his adjusted completion percentage, and everything involved with that. Love to hear your argument and your top three quarterbacks in this draft. Thanks. Bye.
Well, first of all, Josh Allen has a rocket arm.
No, you can't use that, Dave.
Oh, I can't use that. You know, he's got rocket ears. The thing that I like best about Josh Allen compared to the other quarterbacks in this draft is that he's physically gifted compared to the other ones. Doesn't have small hands, doesn't have a slight body frame, isn't short. So things that you can't control in a player. Like if you had to build a great quarterback, you'd build a guy that's as tall as Josh Allen with hands as big as Josh Allen, has good size, has good mobility. Yeah, he didn't have a great completion percentage in college, but a lot of that had to do with who he was throwing to. Some of it had to do with his offensive line. And yeah, you can talk about his competition in college not being as good compared to, you know, the guys that, you know, the SEC, for example. He didn't play in the SEC. He played at Wyoming. I think he's got the best chance to be a great quarterback. And so if given the opportunity in an offense that protects him well and has good targets downfield, I think he's going to get good production. That's why he's my favorite quarterback.
He's going number one. I've been saying it for how long? I've been saying that now for what, almost 2 years, year and a half. He's going number one. The scouts love him. Everybody says, well, look at his completion percentage. And if you pop on the tape, his offensive line was awful. Awful. Now, 2 years ago, he had some decent receivers. Last year, they were terrible. When that team played San Jose State without him, and San Jose State might have been the worst college football team I've ever seen in my entire life, and that's a long time, they lost to San Jose State. That tells you what he meant to the team. Was he good against Iowa? No. Are there plays when you watch him against Iowa where you go, wow, yeah, he was flushed in the pocket, stepped up and fired a rifle shot to a guy about 40 yards on the line and hit him in the back of the end zone, and it doinked off the receiver's numbers. I mean, that's the kind of plays he made. He is the best quarterback. He will be the best quarterback. But more than that, he's the only one, at least in my book, that's going to be a home run or has a chance to be a home run. The other guys might be doubles. You know, this guy's either going to be a single and a strikeout or a home run. I'm taking my chances. I'm going for the home run.
He has the highest ceiling and the lowest floor.
Yeah.
Oh, this is fun. So you've got Allen going one, and I think a lot of people are expecting Darnold to go one, but not you, Pete. And there was a report
I'm
that
– I'm stubborn, by the way.
That's fine. That. I like it. There was a report that the Giants would take Darnold if he were there at two. But you, looking at your most recent mock, I think this is your most recent one, have the Giants trading out and Buffalo moving up to number two. How do you see the first few picks playing out?
Well, I think if you look at it, like I said, I think Allen's going one. I think, you know, John Dorsey, when you look at – he drafted a strong-arm quarterback, or at least – I mean, he's always liked strong-arm quarterbacks. So I think he's going to draft him one. I think two will be – the Giants are going to get out of there, I think, unless they take Chubb. I would take Chubb. Me, personally, I think that's who I would take if I were the Giants. If I'm not in love with any of the other quarterbacks, we don't know if any of these teams are in love with these quarterbacks. That's the unknown. But I would say take Chubb. Number three, Jets move up. You have to take a quarterback, and I think that'll be Rosen or Mayfield, one of those two. Then you get to four, and you're talking about the Browns again. I think that's a trade-out spot. They'll get some value there. Somebody will come up and get one of the quarterbacks, probably Darnold or Rosen if they're there, or Mayfield. And then five, you get to Denver. I don't think they're taking a quarterback. I think they're going to take the guard, Quentin Nelson, or, you know, if Chubb were there, they might take him as well. And then wait, six is Indy. That's where Saquon Barkley could wind up.
Six or seven.
Yeah.
It's the perfect spot.
Yeah.
Either of those places would be great for him for fantasy.
Yeah, six is Indy and Tampa Bay is seven. But you don't think the Broncos would take Barkley at five?
you got to look at their history, and you got to look at, okay, Terrell Davis came in and played with Elway and they won Super Bowls, but he came in the sixth round. And remember, when their history of backs is to put anybody in there and let them run. And Mike Anderson, they found him off the scrap heap. And guys like that, their philosophy is we run that zone offense, that zone scheme. We can put a guy back there and let him run the football. I don't think they're going to change.
But what was Portis in the draft?
Oh, he was,
I believe it was a second round pick.
Second round pick. But I don't know. I just don't think they'll take a running back. That's me. I don't think they'll take Barkley. Yeah. He could slide a little bit here. I mean, if you go down that board and you sit there and you say, okay, Indianapolis has big-time defensive woes, they might take a defensive player. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have big-time defensive woes. They might take a defensive player. Then you get to the Niners, right? Isn't that right after them, nine?
Yeah, the Bears are eight.
They're not taking a running back. What about the Niners at nine?
No. I'd be surprised if they did after what they plopped down on Jerick McKinnon.
You'd have to assume that if he starts to slide like that,
somebody's going
to
go up and get him. Yeah, you would think.
But depends on how many quarterbacks.
But to your point, though, Pete, it is interesting because it is such a deep running back class. And so where's the value lie? And, you know, I know, like, just talking to one Bucks beat writer, we talked about this last week, they would consider going defense and trying to get, you know, somebody like Geist in the second round if he's there.
I mean, the guys are going to be, you know, for fantasy purposes next year, these running backs get drafted. Geist, Ronald Jones, who I love from USC, I think he's going to be a star. Those guys, you know,
Georgia guys, yep.
Sony Michel and Nick Chubb. I mean, there are guys in this draft that you could find and that will run the ball and run the ball very well. So I don't think there's that much difference. Well, so I think you look at it, you'll take if you're in a situation like Tampa Bay,
yep,
you take the corner.
But it is telling. Like, I don't recall, and you guys may know this just off the top of your heads. I mean, think about, there's at least four teams I can think of that don't have what you would consider, three for sure, don't have what you would consider like a solid running back right now. Denver just made the move to cut a 1,000-yard rusher. The Colts, they have Marlon Mack and really nothing else. The Bucks, they get rid of Doug Martin. They're sitting on Peyton Barber right now. And even the Giants, I mean, you know, they have a young guy in Wayne Gallman. They get a retread guy in Jonathan Stewart. I mean, there's a lack of talent at that position because I think a lot of these teams are waiting on what this draft class could bring.
And if you're a team like the Giants or a team, you can wait to the second round. I mean, you know, you can, these teams can wait. Like Cleveland has two second round picks at the top. They could wait to get their running back.
But they have a guy and they have two, you know, that's a team that doesn't necessarily need.
They don't need him.
They can trade out of those picks and give it to somebody who takes one of these running backs.
I mean, no, they could certainly take somebody second round to invest in.
Right.
2 years from now.
Right.
You know, or a year from now.
Mm-hmm. Second round is going to be a fun one for running backs, I think. I hope anyway.
Yeah, the question is how many go in the first round?
Yeah, what do you think?
One.
Well, maybe two. Maybe Geist or Jones, one of those two. Yeah.
Who's overrated?
The Patriots could take that.
Who's overrated?
That running back.
Barkley.
No,
I say that because I do think he's very good, but when you look at him, what they say about him and what the analysts all talk about, you'd think he was Barry Sanders and Walter Payton combo, and he's not. He's just a very, very good back, and we've seen very, very good backs bust, okay? I mean, Kajana Carter busted. I mean, we've seen backs bust. You know, we've seen backs who were at decent years, Ronnie Brown and Cadillac Williams were drafted in the top five.
Trent Richardson.
Yeah, I mean, Trent Richardson bust. I mean, so I do think he's very good, but we got to be careful where we're going with this, and because I think there's value in the other spot. So me, he's overrated. I like Sony Michel's game, but boy, I tell you what, his speed was a worry. He plays fast and doesn't run fast. That's a worry to me. Ronald Jones is Chris Johnson. That's if you want Chris Johnson.
Wow,
that's Ronald Jones.
Hey, all right. And what about the rookie wide receivers? You think we'll get any impact players in year one?
I know the recent years say no, right?
Right.
If we look at the recent years of the rookie wide receivers,
everybody falls in love with that 2014 class and thinks it's replicable.
Not this year.
No way. Where do you get like, okay, but like, look at last year's, right? They got hurt, but they didn't do much, right? Mike Williams didn't do anything.
John Ross was terrible.
John Ross and Corey Davis. I mean, you know,
wow.
Yeah. So, is there an impact?
Cooper Kupp was all right.
But even he tailed off as the season went. Is there a big time receiver in this draft?
No,
there's not. And so that's why those guys might get pushed up a little higher. Calvin Ridley from Alabama. I like DJ Moore from Maryland. And then, you know, you have some other guys in there. Cortland Sutton, the big receiver. DJ Chark, who some people like because he can run. I love Anthony Miller, by the way, from Memphis. That's my guy.
So where's the strength of it? All positions, not just offense. But if quarterback doesn't seem like, look, there's a lot of exciting guys, but doesn't seem like you're in love with any, maybe Josh Allen. Running back is obviously really good, but okay, wide receiver we just kind of put down. This isn't being lauded as a tight end draft. Where's the strength of this draft?
Well, actually, the tight ends are pretty good. I disagree with you on that, Ezra. I think the tight ends, you got some guys. There's no star, like, you know, when you sit there and say, oh, he's going to be an 80-catch guy, but there are a lot of good tight ends. I think you got the kid from South Dakota State, Goddard, Dallas Goddard, he's a good player. You got Hayden Hurst at South Carolina. You have, you know, some people like Mark Andrews from Oklahoma. I don't. I think he's a blown-up wide receiver who's a little soft. I don't love him like other guys do. Gesicki from Penn State. And then you got the guy I love, Ian Thomas from Indiana. And then there's some good blocking tight ends.
You're on the wrong show for that.
Yeah, we don't have blockers.
Well, those are pass-catching tight ends. And those guys all have roles as pass catchers early in their career.
Okay. Can I ask you about the year two guys? Because last year's rookie running backs were pretty damn good. Fournette, McCaffrey, Mixon, Cook, etc. Kamara. Forgot about
him. Left out the top two. Hunt and Kamara.
Hunt and Kamara. I was thinking, I'm going in order of when they were drafted.
But see, now you're just feeding the beast right now, because this is Pete's argument. Why draft a guy early when you have Hunt and Kamara that come out of the third round?
Right. I mean, yeah. And a couple years. What? Jordan Howard's been productive for 2 years in a row, and he was
a fifth round pick.
Right. I mean, you could find these backs. You know, Fournette to me is an interesting one. I don't think he was nearly as good as his reputation a year ago. I think he misses a lot of holes. I think he needs big holes. When he gets going, he's very good. He doesn't make anybody miss.
But we've had this discussion recently with the mock drafts. Do you think the addition, I forget the offensive lineman, the
Norwell. Andrew Norwell.
Yeah, how much will that help him?
A lot. Because when the holes are there, he's darn good. Because he can make people, he can run over people, and he can, you know, he's fast when he gets outside. You remember the play at Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Was it 90 yards? AJ Can kicked out. He went right inside of him. Nobody touched him. He just ran away from everybody. He can do that. But as far as putting his foot in the ground and going to the backside, he can't do it. And as far as making people miss, he can't do it. So it's got to have. Yeah, he needs holes, and I think Norwell will help him.
I want to ask you about one defensive player. He's like, I don't know why he's my guy. I didn't watch that much college football, but I watched the playoff games. I love Roquan Smith. I think he is outstanding, and I can't wait to watch him in the pros. Well, how do you feel about Georgia linebacker Roquan Smith?
You know, it's funny you ask about him, and you mentioned the positions of strength in this draft. That is one of them, by the way. And he is probably, you know, one of the top two or three. I mean, look, the top three guys are all going to go early in this draft. You talk about Roquan Smith. I thought he might be a weak side linebacker, too small. And you know, you don't draft that position that high. Went back and watched him. He's thick. Dare I say it, he reminds me of Ray Lewis. I mean, he's thick like that. You know, he can run. He's about 235 pounds. I think he's going to be I think you're spot on with him. He's going to be a very good player. I love Leighton Vander Esch from Boise. You know, you talk about Urlacher-esque traits. I mean, he probably doesn't run as well as Urlacher did coming out, but can get to the football and run. I had one personnel guy compare him to Luke Kuechly to me. That's high praise. And then you have the kid, Farrell Edmonds' son up in Trey Edmonds up in Virginia Tech, who's a good player. I think, and he's only 19, by the way. I think all three of those guys will be gone by pick 15.
Right. Tremaine Edmonds.
Edmonds.
If we're going to be formal about it.
Yeah. He's going to be, they're all going to be gone by pick 15 and make for bad fantasy production on the other side of the ball for whoever they're playing.
Dave, Jamie, would you like to ask Pete any questions? Personal life questions? Nothing? Pete, you going to watch The Shield or what? You going to finish The Shield?
I still got your DVD, by the way. I've never finished it.
Did you ever watch it?
I did. I watched about 4 seasons of it, I think I did, or whatever. How many seasons were there?
7.
Yeah, I've watched about 4 or 5 of them. It kind of got off the rails. It went off the rails a little bit.
All right.
Azer's going to get all mad at me now, because I'm telling you. It was really, really good for about, like most shows. They write with the idea that they're going to get to about the third or fourth year. Then they start wondering what direction they're going in. That's what happens with those shows.
Not this show. You're way off base on this.
Game of Thrones? Anybody? You guys agree with me on that one, right?
Yeah, I think Dave's the only one that doesn't watch it yet.
I'm going to, because Walking Dead left me disappointed.
I heard my wife said Walking Dead is so bad now.
Yeah,
she doesn't even watch it.
I think I got to walk away.
Pete.
Walk away.
Pete, Game of Thrones season 7, the previous season, like the most recent one. What did you think?
I thought it's kind of getting off again.
Right, yeah, it's not good.
This is an argument Adam and I have. comparing it to the other seasons, it's not as good. I think everybody agree on that.
Correct.
Comparing that season compared to other TV shows, however, still very good.
Not entertaining. That's all it is. It's just entertaining. Not good. Not well written.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't well written at all. I think once they started getting into the too much of the futuristic,
like Adam's point is getting away from the book
and getting away from the stories of the people. People's stories are what made that show what it is. To me, not but draw that, guns.
But it was always about the White Walkers. And yeah, you gotta get there.
I know, but still, I think the people stories were the who's gonna end up as the king?
Probably Daenerys.
I don't think so. It's too obvious.
Snow?
No, I don't think so. It might be his sister. Sneaky sister. She's getting an edge to
the
her.
Little one?
Who, Sansa or Arya?
No, the other one.
Arya? All right,
yeah, Sansa's too obvious. I think you gotta remember, they write not to be obvious. So
but everything's so damn obvious in that show now. Season 7 was just like, they just gave up.
I'm waiting for Narcos to come back.
Oh, that show is incredible. Thank you, Pete. Your best contribution.
Did you watch The Unabomber?
No, I didn't.
Watch it.
You know what this is an example of between you, Pete, and Adam, two people that don't work very hard. You got time to watch TV shows.
Actually, I binge watch them in about like in the summer usually.
Two people with cats.
I didn't watch Game of Thrones until last year. What are you talking about? You guys would come in, Game of Thrones.
Because it's 1 hour a week. Now you're able to binge watch all these shows because you have all this time on you. You never work. Yeah.
Coming from a guy who hasn't worked in the last 7 weeks, it's almost don't you got a couple more months off for babies?
I hope so.
Look at that.
All right, Pete. Thanks a lot. Man. All right, guys. Great stuff. Thanks, we appreciate it. That's Pete Prisco, senior writer. Check out his stuff on the website, cbssports.com/NFL.
You dropped your cane, old man. You want to go pick that up?
Senior citizen writer, Pete Prisco. All right. Now, Pete is smart enough to know that when he go into the games, he's going with the SeatGeek app. Everybody, please download the SeatGeek app right now and search for tickets. That's what I do every time I need to go to a game or a concert or comedy or theater, whatever it is. Use the SeatGeek app and our promo code FFT. Enter that promo code FFT. You get $20 off your first purchase. That's a really good deal. Go to a game and save $20 and then go use that at the concessions. Get a couple of hot dogs. Get whatever you want. $20 off, promo code FFT. So why SeatGeek? Well, saves you time, saves you money. You get the most bang for your buck because SeatGeek searches multiple sites and finds the best deals and grades every ticket based on value. Remember when you used to have to go through all that process of looking at like 5 or 6 websites, trying to find the best deals on tickets? Everything in one place now with SeatGeek. So download the SeatGeek app. I love it. I use it all the time. I used it a couple weeks ago to go to a Yankees game. Going to do the same pretty soon with another game. I strongly recommend it. SeatGeek app or SeatGeek.com, and the promo code is FFT. All right. Good stuff on the draft. Couple questions for you. Modifying the friendship strategy. What do you think about drafting both Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara using rounds 1 and 3, let's say, on 2 running backs, Ingram and Kamara?
There's no way you're getting both in rounds 1 and 3.
Unless you take ten team Kamara league with like a 4th or 5th overall pick.
10-team, yeah. 10-team league, maybe. You'd probably have to do it if you're picking like 6 through the end of the first round.
You could do it in an auction.
To do an auction.
Oh. What do you think? What do we think about it?
Uh-huh.
You know, it could be a situation. Well, yeah. And I think it could be great. How often did they both have good games last year?
Often. Probably more often than you. They were 2 of the top 5 running backs in fantasy. Maybe top 6 in standard.
Kamara got going week 7 on. So, and Ingram, I think, was around the same range. It was right after they traded Peterson.
There were 6 games last year where both of them had at least 10 fantasy points in a non-PPR. And there were 3 games where neither one of them had 10. So if you draft both, you're almost guaranteed at least one with 10 fantasy points per week. And if one gets hurt, you've got the other one. And that other one theoretically would then pick up tons of work each week.
So
it's a lot of draft capital to spend on, you know, the same position on the same team.
Yeah. Who's the running back that you have ranked directly after Mark Ingram? And then my question is, you take Alvin Kamara in round 1. Do you take Ingram in round 2, or do you go deeper into your rankings or one spot deeper and take fill in the blank, whoever it is, Kenyon Drake?
So for me, the guy behind Ingram is Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, I think for me, it's McCoy.
So it's easy. I think it's easy to pivot to those guys, right?
Sure. I think that would be a fun experiment, though.
Yeah, me too. I'm not really feeling Ingram because I feel like they like Kamara a lot more.
But I mean, look, the numbers will show you just in terms of workload, they don't want to overwork Kamara. At least they didn't seem to.
Yeah, it seems that way. Okay, what do you think about drafting both Stefon Diggs and Adam Thielen? Say Thielen in round 3 and Diggs in round 4.
That's more realistic to accomplish, but I don't know if you need to go that high with both of them. It's probably round 4 and round 5.
I did this. Everything I'm saying is based on our most recent PPR draft from last week.
Okay, so PPR, yeah. You probably see Thielen in round 3. Diggs went in round 4?
Yeah. I think first pick of round 4.
Yeah, that seems a little high. I wouldn't have a problem with it if you almost took an approach like what Dave did, but instead of taking receiver, you went receiver, running back, receiver. And so that's your number 2 guy in flex.
There were 7 games last year where both of them failed to get 10 fantasy points.
That's standard scoring.
Standard scoring.
Yep.
And 2 games where both of them got 10 plus. So I think you're hurting yourself if you take both of them.
But you have to assume that there's a slight upgraded quarterback with Kirk Cousins.
Oh, yeah. Over Case Keenum? I'll give you that. But I don't think I'd feel good about having both of them on my team.
Yeah, again, if it was, let's say, you end up with not even the top 2 guys. Let's say you take Julio Jones or Michael Thomas or Odell Beckham, and then those 2 guys after taking your running back round 2, I'd be okay with that. And then you just kind of go running back crazy.
Okay, what do you think about drafting Demaryius Thomas in round 3 and Emmanuel Sanders in round 7 in PPR?
PPR makes it far more manageable.
Yeah, I think even both. You know, again, it's the hope that there's a quarterback upgrade, because you look, I just did the Broncos player outlook. So, you know, looking at the numbers for these 2 guys, has just been awful since Peyton Manning left, and really the year before Manning left, because we know what that year was when he was splitting time with Brock Osweiler. So the hope would be is that better quarterback play just turns those guys around. You know, I know it's not that simple. They're both older. Sanders battled injuries last year. Thomas, you know, fought through a hip injury 2 years ago. But if Case Keenum is an upgrade over Trevor Siemian, Brock Osweiler, Paxton Lynch, which are the 3 quarterbacks that they've dealt with over the last 2 seasons, which I think we could all say that should be, then those guys have unbelievable rebound possibilities. I don't think they'll ever get back to their heyday when they were setting records with Manning, but they can both be, you know, I think top 30 receivers, with Thomas hopefully being the better of the 2.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Sanders in round 7. Just get some better quarterback play in there. That's the goal. All right, and then
you could almost draft both and still get 2 other good receivers.
Yeah.
With your other 6 picks among your first 8.
That's kind of friendship strategy right there.
Yeah, right now they're I think hoping, at least, you know, just looking at their depth chart, they're hoping Carlos Henderson, who missed all of last season with a thumb injury, is going to be their number 3 guy. Jordan Taylor's coming off of a hip problem. You know, he's going to be in the mix there. Isaiah McKenzie, who's not really a wide receiver but can play wide receiver, you know, is going to be in the mix. If they don't add somebody significant, which, again, looking at their team as a whole, it would be surprising if that's a position they invest heavily in. Those 2 guys can still be – Thomas was 140 targets. Sanders was about 120 if he would have played 16 games. You know, if you're talking about close to 300 targets for those 2 guys, if they're both right, they should be able to fall into, you know, significant production.
Last question, then we'll hear some voicemails and read some emails. How much separation is there between Rob Gronkowski and the next 2 tight ends, Kelce and Ertz?
On draft day, it's going to be less than 1 round. It'll probably be somewhere in the neighborhood of 9, 10 picks.
I don't mean that. I mean in your mind, how much separation is there?
I mean, there's a break in tier.
I think it's interesting for the 2 guys that are after Gronk, which is most likely going to be on everybody's draft boards, Travis Kelce and Zach Ertz in some order. Kelce is going to face changes for the first time since he's become significantly relevant, or a star, I guess, because new quarterback and a lot more talent around him. And then Ertz may have less talent around him in some fashion if Alshon Jeffrey's not right. You know, if that shoulder injury lingers into the season, which it doesn't, it's not expected to, but you know, he could see a big bump in production. So I don't think this to me feels like the first time, because I know we had this a couple years ago with Jordan Reed, you know, coming off the year where he was almost neck and neck with Gronk, and obviously the Jimmy Graham, you know, years, but I always felt like there was a separation between Gronk and Graham. Gronk is, you know, I think not necessarily the he's the guy you draft first, and he's still the best fantasy tight end going into the season. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's not number one and maybe even number two. I think those other two guys could pass him.
I think it comes down to injuries for Gronk. If he stays healthy, he's going to dominate. He performs like a quality wide receiver at the tight end position. He averaged 10.9 fantasy points per game. That's non-PPR. I believe the second highest was Kelce at 8.9 per game. So he's a full 2 points better per week. And that doesn't sound like much, and it really isn't that much.
Yeah,
when
no,
you
it's consider, significant.
Well, you consider the grand scheme of things between, you're going to win a fantasy game 75 points to 68 points. 2 points typically doesn't help you. You'd like to have it if you can.
It's actually a big deal, though. 2 points
we,
per
we
week.
We make it a big deal when we talk about like the number 13 wide but, receiver I mean, really, versus the number 30 wide receiver.
What did Gronk play? How many games last year?
14.
So one,
and he had a couple with zero.
One, he played 14?
He played 14, but yeah, week 17, 14, he had no targets.
He missed another one.
No, he
played week 17.
He did play week 17, yeah. He had no targets.
So it's 14 games or 15 games?
It's 14, including week 17.
Including
and Kelce played 15 games because he didn't play week 17.
Correct. And they had very similar numbers. I mean, Kelce had 14 more catches.
Gronk was 9 points better than him.
In standard.
In standard scoring league. One game difference.
And Kelce was slightly better in PPR.
They scored the same amount of touchdowns. They were 50 yards apart.
Yeah, basically the same. I think what separates Gronkowski at this point is touchdowns. I mean, I know that he had the same amount as Kelce, but I know people think that touchdowns are not that predictable. I think they're fairly predictable with Rob Gronkowski, and Kelsey's never done what he did last year in terms
of
touchdowns.
It's actually better than 9 points because Kelce, if you recall, threw an interception. So there's 2 points that shouldn't have really come off of his stat line.
Sure.
So, 7 points difference. I agree with what Dave said. It's going to be probably 10 spots. I know, like in our most recent draft, I don't remember exactly where Gronk went in the second round. I took Kelce at the end of the second round. You took Ertz at the beginning of the third round. So those guys would have been right there in that 10
yeah.
spot range.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the separation isn't really between 1, 2, and 3. Gronk should go first. Again, there's more upside with him, as Dave said, when he's healthy. But the separation is like, I'm more curious when the fourth guy comes off the board.
Yeah, and I feel like we've been seeing Olsen go way too early.
Well, he went early in this last draft. I still think he's the fourth best guy, depending on what their receiving core looks like, because I just think there's more stability between him and Ingram and Hunter Henry, just with what those receiving cores look like. But you can make an argument, that if you're confident this is the Ingram step forward year or this is the Henry breakout season, which as of right now, they don't have Antonio Gates back on the roster. So, those things can happen. But it really comes down to, if you're inclined to still get one of the top six guys, because I think those are the top six, when do you pull the trigger on 4 through 6? Because if you don't get 1, 2, or 3 in round 2 or round 3, then it's okay. You're playing the guessing game. Otherwise, you're left with sort of the retread guys, which still have some upside. Delanie Walker still has upside. Rudolph still has some upside. Certainly Jordan Reed has plenty of upside if he's healthy. But I think it's almost you want to guarantee yourself one of those top three guys or take a shot in that round 4 through 6 range on one of the next three, the solid factor of Olsen or the upside of Ingram or Henry.
All right, yeah, and I think the interesting one is really Ertz, and they're all interesting, but Ertz has not had 900 yards yet. He had 824 last year in 14 games. Didn't really play a full 14 games. He left one halfway through. His first game back from injury was a total dud. Carson Wentz missed 3 games, and that hurt his production a little bit. But, he's 800 yards usually. And I think we can all look at Wentz, and we can all look at Ertz and see the talent. And, no, there's potential for more than 800 yards or 850 yards. But he's never been above 853. Meanwhile, Gronk and Kelce are around 1,100 most of the time. So it is pretty interesting, but I mean, if you were gonna project Zach Ertz right now, you would project him for more than 853 yards, right? That's his career high.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'd be 1,000. It'd be in the 900 range. I don't know if you're gonna make that huge. But to me, it comes down to Jeffrey. I mean, if Jeffrey is, slowed at all, early part of the season, this receiving core is not that great. There are definitely good parts. Taking Ertz out of the equation, Jeffrey's good. Mike Wallace could certainly be the Torrey Smith, if not better. We know about Nelson Agholor and what he showed last year. Certainly had a big step forward. Do they bring Darren Sproles back, which is something they're talking about? Or does Corey Clement step into that role for a full season, not just what he showed in the Super Bowl. So it's kind of an influx thing. I think he's right now, again, going into the season, clearly number three. But if he does have that yardage boost and stay in that 8 to 10 touchdown range, he could easily be the best tight end.
All right. Well, that is going to conclude our strategy talk, I guess. Let's hear some voicemails. 954-689-3199. Here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Cooper from College Station, and I was wondering what you guys were thinking about Dalvin Cook in the first round. I feel like it's a little early just because he's coming off of injury, and I feel like his success was really against teams that were not so great. We had New Orleans early in the year when they were just a complete mess, and then Tampa Bay whenever Tampa Bay really wasn't that great. So I feel like the end of the first round is a little early for me, but I'm curious to hear what you guys think. All right, let me know. Thanks, guys. Ba-da-da-ba-da-da-ba.
Nice.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. Yeah. And I got to bring that back for the ending. Let's see if I remember today. I currently have Dalvin Cook as my number 12 overall player. Once Saquon Barkley gets drafted, he will probably fall to 13. The thing that I like best about Cook is that the coaches love him. He should be fine. This is assuming he's fine for training camp. Of course, he should be fine for training camp. And he's on a team that with that good of a defense, they'll be in plenty of games where they're going to kill the clock at the end. He'll get a lot of extra carries that way. And I feel like he will be a good, consistent fantasy running back for your squad.
Okay. Anything to add, Jamie, or are we good?
No. I think he's better suited in the beginning part of second round, but you're splitting hairs, because if you get to that point at the back end of the first round and there's pick whatever receiver you want, Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, AJ Green, and you think, okay, I can guarantee myself one of those guys, but I just missed on Kamara, I just missed on Barkley, or I don't want Barkley because he's with Cleveland and two other guys, then you take the receiver and you get Cook in the second round.
Next question.
Hey, this is Daniel from Southern Texas. I'm just calling to say I have had several successful drafts by approaching each draft going against the grain. When I see everybody going running back, there's a lot of receiver talent that gets left on the board, so I end up grabbing, I might get two receivers on my first two picks. Well, if everyone's going heavy on receivers, if we're in a PPR league and they're grabbing them, I'll go grab two or three running backs. I feel like going against the grain to always get elite talent is always a good approach. But there comes a point in the draft where you have to start going after what you need. And I think it's around 4 or 5.
I'm going to cut it off right there. What do you think about that? Going against the grain, everybody's going running back heavy. You swoop in, you take two wide receivers. Then Daniel says, round 4 or 5 is when you start focusing on what you need.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad approach at all, because I think you're going to see, and we've seen it in this draft, this PPR draft that we just did. There were 9 owners that went a combination of running back receiver in the first 2 rounds. There was one owner in you, Adam, who went running back. There was one owner in Dave that went wide receiver, and there was another one that went running back in Gronkowski. So you're starting to see the pattern of, okay, somebody wants to get, or almost everybody wants to get a running back in their first 2 picks. And so can you differentiate yourself enough to add talent? And I wrote about our mock draft. I used Dave's team as an example because I thought it was a good strategy with how he built it. And I don't necessarily agree with all the players that you took, and I would have taken a 4th receiver as opposed to just limiting yourself to 3. But it's certainly the way to be different. And as we talked about during the course of the draft, a lot of things worked out well for Dave, not knowing where the rookie running backs are going to go that he drafted, but having Ingram fall to the 3rd round.
That made the draft for me.
Right. It puts you in a spot of, okay, now you have a potential top 10 guy at one of your running back spots. And then Alex Collins, I think, was the other guy, right?
Nope.
It wasn't Alex Collins.
Maybe it was. Yeah, round 5, Alex Collins.
So Alex Collins
I love that pick. I love that pick.
A great number 2 guy. And then you took, a couple of rookies in there, right? At least one.
Yep.
Where it gives you the opportunity. Now, again, we don't know where those rookies are going to be. They could be bad picks as we, review it.
But it could be a different rookie that I end up taking in that spot.
Sure, but the point would be is that, you're taking players of potential at spots of quality, you know, and so you have the opportunity to, okay, I have my three receivers that I like in the first five rounds, and now I could just, you know, load up at another position. Now, if too many people start doing that, you're not going to have the same depth, but you pivot and go in a different direction. So it's always good to set yourself apart, because like what was his name, the caller?
Daniel
said, people start to look for their needs in that range. Well, your need is already settled. So while they're trying to fill other spots at the receiver position, you now take those running backs that they're leaving for you at your disposal.
And I think that this what I'm seeing more and more as I get into my draft prep for the year is that receiver is going to get real sketchy pretty quickly. And that's what we used to say about running backs, is that after a certain point, you fall off a full tier and you look at what's left and you go, oh, my cheese and crackers. This is horrible what's left. And if you go too heavy on non-receivers early in the draft, you're going to look at Michael Crabtree as your number one wide receiver, and you're going to ask everybody in your league if you can redo the entire draft.
But that's completely waiting, though. I don't think
that is completely waiting, but I think some people might – people that go running back, and then in round three – they can't resist one of the tight ends we just talked about.
Yeah, but Adam's team's a good example of that, because you went with two backs with your first two picks.
But then, you almost have to take a receiver third if you do that.
And then you took,
I feel like,
Ertz in
round
three? No, I didn't.
Yeah, I took Ertz. All right, so let's see. And then remember, Jamie, we missed that wide receiver run. So, I mean, to his point, all right, so my team, Le'Veon Bell, this was PPR, 12 teams PPR, the second pick. Le'Veon Bell, Christian McCaffrey, Zach Ertz. And then, like, right before I picked, there was this crazy wide receiver one, and I missed out on all of them. So I missed out.
I was in round four, right?
Yeah, I missed out on Jarvis Landry, Golden Tate, Josh Gordon, Julian Edelman, and my starting wide receivers are Marvin Jones and Brandon Cooks.
Right, but your strategy, though, is, I think, the total opposite of what we're talking about here. Again, most people, because I've seen it in the first two drafts, in analyzing them, standard and PPR, have gone wide receiver, running back, or running back, wide receiver.
Right, they want to get one of each, so that.
Well, I
think
balanced. It's just where we'll end up seeing average draft position. That's how it will fall. Is, you know, you can get two players of each position, because we've seen that and seen teams, you know, like Dave's that have ended up fine. But I think you're going to end up the trend we're going to see is one of each in the first two rounds for the majority of the league.
That's,
you know,
right.
Where last year it may have been a little bit more skewed. So maybe two wide receivers with your first two picks. I don't know that for sure.
I feel like that might have been that way 2 years ago.
Yeah, you know what? I'll say this. I've noticed that. I really think that these running backs these days change so much in standard versus PPR, because we are seeing a lot more running backs become majorly involved in the passing game, and that's why with the 23rd overall pick in this draft that we did last week on the air, I took Christian McCaffrey. And I have Le'Veon Bell and Christian McCaffrey. At that point, like, I don't really care about wide receiver. I have two running backs who are going to catch more passes than almost every wide receiver. Like, they're going to be top 20 in catches if everything goes as planned. So it's kind of different the way you get your PPR points now. And I've been drafting standard scoring leagues, thinking really so much about touchdowns, and then just. I guess I overvalue. Maybe I don't think I overvalue, but I boost value of a guy like Christian McCaffrey so much that I was willing to take him over. He's gonna have more catches than Doug Baldwin.
Yeah,
does it matter what position he plays?
In for your team, for example, as well. If you had taken, and mine too, because I took Baldwin and Kelsey after taking Todd Gurley. Is if either one of us had taken T.Y. Hilton instead of the tight end?
Yeah, that was the question.
And then, right? And then let's just say we came back. I don't know if it would have worked out that way, but if we both in the fourth, fifth round had the shot at Henry and Ingram, or Olsen, Henry and Ingram. I know Olsen went a little early in that draft, but Henry and Ingram. Mm-hmm. Do we feel better about our receiving corps?
Oh, yeah, definitely. About our full team. Yeah, but I mean, so to go back to what Dave was saying about receiver getting really thin and this question from Daniel about going against the grain, I am much more willing to go against the grain if it's two receivers, two running backs, and a flex. We start getting into a three-receiver league, I'm more hesitant to go against the grain, because then, Dave, yeah, you could really be looking at having a terrible receiving unit. So they all go really early. You need to start three of them.
You might end up with Allen Hurns and Terrence Williams and Cole Beasley.
You could really dig yourself a hole. I don't know how willing I'd be to go against the grain and not take a receiver with any of my first three picks in a three-receiver league.
But they're going to be – I mean, I know we're saying this now and factoring the rookies potentially being terrible while the rookie running backs could be unbelievable. But they're going to be – so many wide receivers that come the middle of the year like, oh my God, why didn't we draft this guy higher? Why didn't we put more stock emphasis on this guy? Why didn't we know? We talked about two of them. You asked about the Broncos guys in terms of Emmanuel Sanders, or one of them, and Emmanuel Sanders and what his bounce back potential could be. Dave mentioned Michael Crabtree. He certainly has bounce back potential.
He does. You know,
there are going to be guys. Pete mentioned one in terms of the Packers guys. You know, we could be talking about Allison in a month and or 3 months, and all of a sudden he's better than Randall Cobb, and he's the second guy there.
Yeah, if you play in a fantasy baseball league, first base is always really deep, and you could go the entire draft without drafting a first baseman. Take like the last first baseman off the board, which for me in a 12 team league was Justin Smoke. I don't remember.
You just
what
picked
I
up Justin Bauer off of
Justin Bohr. Yeah,
Justin Bohr. Excuse me.
Right, but at the same time, you know, at the end of the year, that Votto and Rizzo and Encarnacion, like those guys are good. They're just like eight first base. Yeah, sort of. But also, I make the case with wide receiver. Like, yeah, there are going to be plenty of wide receivers that you can pick up throughout the year that are going to be really good. But if you don't have at least one of the great ones, you can certainly win that way. But I would always, in a three quarterback league, a three wide receiver league, I'd love to have one elite one. I really would.
Well, I'll give you an example. And you talk about three wide receiver league. This is a dynasty league, but it's a startup dynasty league. So take that into consideration. We started five wide receivers. The first player that I took in this draft, I think I picked fourth overall, was Mike Evans. He was bad.
Yeah.
You know what I took in the second round?
Who?
Todd Gurley. I lost one game in the regular season. I lost in the semifinals of the playoffs because it was just, you know, bad luck. But my receiving core in a five wide receiver league, my top two guys were Mike Evans and Larry Fitzgerald.
PPR?
PPR.
All right. Well, at least you had one great one there.
I did have one great one.
We'll talk more about the positions that we have more conviction in as we get closer to July and August. But I think that's going to be a huge thing. Is you'll know which players are going to go in the first five rounds of your draft. What position do you feel more comfortable picking from once you get to round six, round seven, round eight? And once you figure out what that position is, you can kind of build a draft strategy around that. Because I think most of our listeners, they're going to realize that waiting on a quarterback is the right thing to do. If you're in love with one of the tight ends, or there's a good value at tight end when you're up, you'll adjust your draft strategy on the fly to that. Otherwise, it's figuring out which position you're okay with waiting on between running back and receiver.
I also I'll give you a little tease for our next show. I had a fun conversation about a unique approach to auctions that I may try this year that I think could be fun.
Okay, excellent. All right, guys, so we're almost out of time. I promised someone I'd read his email, so I want to listen to one last voicemail. It's a quick keeper question, then we'll read an email, and then we'll get back to you all on Thursday afternoon. But here's our last voicemail of the day.
Hey, Icebox, Spike, Jr., and Zoltek, Greg from South Carolina. I'm in a 12-man PPR keeper league. What's a better value for a keeper? Do I do somebody like Kareem Hunt in the second round and essentially have two first-round picks on my team? Or should I stick with my gut feeling, which is Adam Thielen in the 11th round? Let me know what you think. Thanks, guys. One time.
Little Giants, first of all. So what was it, Kareem Hunt in the second or Adam Thielen in the 11th?
That was his question.
Did he say the format?
PPR.
I think I go with his gut and go with Thielen in the 11th round. If he's right now trending in the third round, which I think, again, is a little high, he's probably a fourth round pick. It's so hard to pass up on value like that when he gets a quarterback upgrade.
Okay. So, yeah.
So hard throwing Kareem Hunt back. Top five, top six type of pick in a PPR.
He's not a top five pick in PPR.
He might be up there.
He's not going ahead of the top four running backs, the top two receivers.
Top seven pick in a PPR.
Yeah, he's top seven.
Giving
top
up in round two. The value clearly is better with Thielen.
All right, here's our email.
It's very tempting. It's very tempting.
I guess you can make the case for Thielen. Improved targets with Cousins coming, et cetera,
et cetera. No, not worse targets with Cousins coming. Remember? Cousins spreads the ball around. He had 143 targets or something like that.
It's
last
efficiency.
Year.
You've got to bank on efficiency, which Cousins has been very good about.
I don't think he's going from a receiving core where he had to spread the ball around when he had Terrell Pryor, a banged up Jameson Crowder. No,
it was every year there.
I would be stunned
if
he throws a lot.
But look at the guys that he's had.
He had great receivers. He had a very similar group. Great. He had a really good tight end. He had Pierre Garçon. He had DeSean Jackson. He had Jameson Crowder. That year, he spread the ball around. That's what I'm trying to say.
You're talking 3 years ago or two years
ago? 2 years ago, I believe. Every year he spread the ball around. Has there ever been one stud wide receiver on the Redskins with Kirk Cousins? I think the answer is no.
Reed.
They had two receivers
Jordan Reed, that's
with over
it.
1,000 yards.
But there's never been a fantasy standout wide receiver. Never been a stud. I'm going to say there's never been a top 20 wide receiver that Kirk Cousins has produced. I could be wrong about that, but that's just off the top of my head. Crowder may have been close to that 1 year.
So 2 years ago is what Dave's talking about, when they had both Garcon and Jackson go over 1,000 yards, and Crowder, I believe, had 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm not sure any of them were top 20.
Does Minnesota have a third guy as good as Crowder that year? No.
No. No. Point taken, but I'm still making the case that he just didn't feature anyone. He spread the ball around.
Yeah, I think when you look at different team, and my opinion, better options right now than what he's walking away from.
Okay. Then let's finish with this question from Mark. Mark, no, you know what, Mark, I'm going to save you for next show. I'm going to email you back. I'm going to tell you we're going to read it next show, just so you don't sit there for an hour.
You're so good question. To your listeners.
I try. My listeners. Actually, Mark, Daryl, Aaron, someone from Geneva, and Joe. I got to get the name of the guy from Geneva. We will read your email next episode on Thursday. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Pete Prisco.
God, man, this is the longest show ever. Bye.
Bye.
Na, 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 na.